Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. There's a chorus song by Oscar Ellison. It says, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do." Isn't it great that we have a God that is the God of impossibilities? We've been singing about it this morning in our hymns that we have sung and the songs that we have heard. And that's the message that I want us to consider this morning as we look into Scripture. It's been said that the Christian walk is not tried and found lacking, but it's been found difficult, therefore not tried. It is some things that God tells us to do that are very difficult and may even seem impossible in some regards, such as commands like, "Be ye holy." How many of you are holy in your practice this morning, completely? We're all being worked on. We're all in that process, going there. We're to walk in the Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit of God. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to let Christ's mind be in us. And we're to rejoice even in our trials that we face. All of these things may be difficult things, and sometimes they feel impossible, but they're not impossible with God. They're not too difficult. Not if we rely upon Him. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Amen. He is the one that comes through. I've titled the message today, "The God of Impossibilities." Impossible circumstances and how we ought to respond to them. Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would not only remind us and convince us of the great truth of how you are that God of impossibilities, but Lord, also as we face the difficulties in our life, as we face circumstances that, Lord, we sometimes throw up our arms in despair and confusion and not knowing what to do and how to handle and how to get beyond, Lord, we know that these things are not too hard for you. And I pray that you would allow us, Lord, today to be encouraged to reach out unto you and to rely upon you fully, that we may see the impossibilities of our life become those rivers that are crossed by your power, those mountains that are scaled by your word and by your power. And I pray that today that might be an encouragement to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Impossible scriptures that we come across here in Jeremiah 32. We read some this morning. I want to pick out those and emphasize them. Verse 17 says, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out on, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You are our creator. You're the one that has made everything, and there's nothing too hard for you. That statement at the end is, in the Hebrew, the strongest negative that can be uttered. In other words, no, nothing, absolutely nothing is beyond just ordinary for you, God. It's not anything to be concerned about. It's not anything remarkable. It's just ordinary. It's nothing for you. It's easy. Our impossibilities are that way with God. Everything is impossible with Him. If you flip over to verse 27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He asked the question, and it's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is no. There's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. He is the God of impossibilities. But I want you to substitute for the word anything, I want you to substitute your impossibility, your difficulty, your struggle right now. What is it? Is there anything? Is there anything with my health that's too hard for God? Is there anything with my children's situation that's too hard for God? Is there anything with my financial needs that is too hard for God? Put whatever the struggle is in your life, stick it in there and ask the question, is that anything, is that thing too hard for God? And we know that the answer is no, it's not too hard for God. But now we've got to rely upon that God of those impossibilities. How do we do that? Jesus had said in Matthew 19:26, He says, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I remind you of the Gabriel as he met with Mary there, talking about the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that she was going to have a child, even though she had not been with a man, and how that was going to be done miraculously by the Holy Spirit. And he said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." These are the truths that we have, impossible scriptures, or scriptures about that God is the God of the impossibilities. Nothing is too hard for Him. Have you got any rivers or any mountains, any difficulties, any impossibilities that are in your life? Acknowledge, Lord, with You, nothing is impossible. You can deal with my circumstance, my situation. There's nothing too hard for Thee. I want you to turn with me now over to John chapter 6. We're going to see a miracle of the Lord that illustrates this fact of that nothing is impossible with Him. While you're turning there, this particular miracle that we're going to see is unique for four reasons. Number one, it's the only miracle mentioned in all four of the Gospels. The only one. It is the only occasion in which Jesus asked advice. We're going to see why in a minute and what He was after. Thirdly, it's the only miracle performed before such a large number of people. And fourth, it was an undeniable miracle of creation, not just that of restoration, even though that's impressive enough by itself. God did a tremendous different kind of miracle here. So let's look at verse 1 of John chapter 6. After these things, stop right there. After what things? It's good to know where we are in context of what's going on. Jesus and the disciples had been proclaiming repentance in every village in which they had gone. Jesus had been doing miracles of healing. As we continue to read there, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a multitude followed Him because they saw the miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And we have Jesus and His disciples. They've been ministering to people. Crowds have been following them. They wanted to see the miracles that Jesus was doing. Some of them needed miracles in their own life of healing from the diseases that they had. And they had seen these things, but Jesus now and His disciples were tired. And they had been going for a good while. They were emotionally drained. And so they went across the Sea of Galilee. They went up into a high mountain there to kind of get apart. You know, sometimes we have to get away, get apart, and so we don't fall apart. We need to have the rest with that from time to time. But, you know, sometimes, even in the midst of when we're tired and when things have been rough, we still have to be open to the opportunities that God gives us in ministry and when we're to serve. Well, you look at this in the next verse 5, says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. And he said to Philip there, in a sense, there, how are we going to feed all of these? All right. They were tired, exhausted, emotionally drained, looking to get away a little bit and be able to rest, rejuvenate. But here came the people to serve. So what's their mentality? What would it be your mentality with that description? You're tired. It's been a long day. You come back tonight. Here are the kids in the class. Here's the other teachers in the class. Here's the situation that we're dealing with. How is your service unto the Lord? Do you see it as a ministry or as a misery? Is it a joy, or do you just look at it as a job, your responsibility, your duty? Is it a delight to serve the Lord, or is it a dread as you approach it? You see, what is our attitude when it comes to our service unto the Lord? We are, even when we're tired and drained and exhausted and emotionally weary, we're still to be open when the Lord brings the opportunity. You know, if he brings the opportunity, guess what he is also going to bring? He's going to bring the energy to do it. With the opportunity, whatever the Lord calls, he's there to help us to do it. And we need to recognize that. Jesus was ready for service even when he was tired. And he asked Philip this question. Here's where I said he asked for advice. But as we'll see, he already knew what he was going to do. But he asked Philip, whence shall we buy bread? Where are we going to get bread that we may, that these may eat? How are we going to feed all of these people? How many people were there? We know this, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, but Matthew's account of it in Matthew chapter 14, verse 21 says that besides the 5,000 men, there were women and children as well. So there may have been anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 at the least that would have been in this miracle. 10,000 people. Boy, that's a little bit more than we have in our congregation today. But deacons, let's say that it was just today's number. After church today, deacons, I want y'all to feed our families that are here. Go make it happen. How are we going to do that? We may start asking some questions like what Philip did in response. Oh. What do we see here in verse 5 through 7? Jesus asked him the question, where we get bread that we may that these may eat? And this he said to prove or to test Philip there, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. In other words, just to have a little bit to eat. What's a penny worth? Not talking about a penny today's value, but 200 of a penny was called a denarius. It was a day's wage. 200 days' wages would not be enough to buy enough food in order to feed all of these people just to have a little bit. 10,000 people, possibly more even. How can we feed them? It was just a test. Do you know that every trial, every test that comes into our life, it either comes from the devil to tempt us to respond incorrectly for our worst, or it comes from the Lord to test us to see if we'll respond correctly for our best, for our good. We have to recognize that these things, these tests, these situations in our life that are difficult are allowed by God with a purpose. And we've got then to respond correctly to the purpose. Philip, I believe, failed the test. He looked at their own power, what we can do, what money that, you know, we don't even have that kind of money, and it would take that kind of money to, this is going to cost a lot, Lord. And too often we think that money is the answer to every need, and it's not. It's not. Jesus was just testing Philip, for as I said in verse 6 there, Jesus himself already knew what he was going to do. Could I say that's true in our lives as well? There's nothing that we're facing right now. There's nothing that we're going to face tomorrow that's going to be a difficulty in our life, excuse me, that we have to be concerned about. Because God already knows what he's going to do. He already has the answer for that. We've just got to trust him. Do you believe that God knows what's going to happen tomorrow?
No.
Scripture says so. He's already there. As if it was history. It is sure he knows. Do you believe that God is all powerful? Scripture says so. That means he has the power to control anything to turn out exactly the way that he wants. He is sovereign. Do you believe that God is all-knowing? Scripture says so. That means that he knows what is best for us. And when we put all of those things together, we see that God knows what's best for my life. He has an understanding of what he is doing in his power. And he already knows the outcome of it because he's there already. And he is directing it for my good and for his glory. And it doesn't matter how impossible the situation may look from my perspective. God is in control. And he knew what he was going to do, and he knows what he's going to do in your life. We must not depend on our own ability. Philip was. We must not depend upon our own ability to meet the need. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. We're to rely upon God's spirit, not our power, not our abilities. Jesus said in John 15:5, for without me you can do what?
Nothing.
You can do nothing. With me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we have a perspective then that since I can't do anything of my own, and I'm commanded that I'm not to try to do on my own, I am to rely upon the Lord. I am to acknowledge that I'm nothing without him, but he's everything, and I can rest in his power, in his work. Philip failed the test there. Andrew didn't do much better. As we keep reading there in verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, by the way, every time you read about Andrew, it's always acknowledging that he's Simon Peter's brother. He saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. If there was a period right there, he would be in good shape. But he kept talking. Also, another thing about Andrew, every time you see him in Scripture, he's bringing somebody else to Jesus. He brings this lad here and he says, here's this lad, but he only has five barley. What's a barley loaf? It's just a little small, little kind of like a big biscuit type thing, a piece of bread. Two fish. It was his food for the day for this kid. He's got five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Maybe 10,000 people. Five little biscuits and two fish. Most of us could probably finish that off for lunch today. Not much when you're thinking about, and from a human point of view, and that's what he was looking, what is that amongst so many? How is that going to help? We look at our situations and difficulties and we may think, how is my little bit going to be able to do anything? How can my little bit affect? What is my little bit going to be able to do? But we got to remember, little is much when God is in it. We've got to rely upon, it's not our little bit that we're talking about. We discount what God can do when we give it to Him. We discount what God can do when it's in His hands. Andrew didn't realize what Jesus could do. In my hands, I can do nothing. But with the Lord, all things are possible. Maybe you don't have much. Five barley loaves and two little fish. That's all the lad had. That's all Andrew could find. But that's all Jesus needed. Amen. That's all he needed. Just that. Whenever there's a need, whatever it is, give what you have to Jesus and let Him do the rest. Amen. Put your situation in the Lord's hands and let Him do the rest. Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let Him have it. Don't pick it back up. Just let Him have it. And He'll do great. Look at the miracle here. As we read in verse 10, the number of them was 5,000. And then, of course, as I mentioned with the women and children, maybe all the way to 8,000 to 10,000. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks. That's an example to us. We ought to give thanks for the things that God provides for us. We ought to give thanks for the food that He provides. I hope that when you sit down at a meal, whether it's in a restaurant or whether it's in a home by yourself, whether it's at an office in a break room or wherever you're eating, whatever you're eating, that you pause and thank the Lord for what He has provided for you. Because that's exactly what He did. He provided it for you. Now, I could spend some time on this, but let me just say this. It's not about, we're going to pray here. The Pharisees would get attention as they would lead in prayer, so people would know that they're leading in prayer. God says they have their reward. That's not the way we approach it. But when I'm in a restaurant and I'm eating with some other people and we have prayer, when I pray, I pray hopefully enough that the people at the other end of the table are going to hear me. I'm not trying to do for the restaurant, but I'm not embarrassed to do it either. And we're not to be embarrassed of our Lord when we're sitting, whether it's in a school lunchroom or office break room, or whether it's in our home, or whether it's in a restaurant, wherever it is, we ought to say, Lord, I acknowledge that you have provided what I have today. And even though my credit card may pay for it, or my cash may pay for it, I thank you that you gave me the health to be able to work, and the mentality to be able to do it, and the wherewithal to have a desire to work that allowed me to make some money that I can use for that, because it all came from him.
Amen.
That's where it is. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift, every gift we receive from him. And we ought to give thanks. We ought to be thankful. Instead of complaining about what we don't have, we ought to give thanks for what we do have.
Amen.
What he has provided. And he will make it go further. We see that he paused there and he gave thanks, and he distributed it to his disciples, middle of verse 11, and his disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. In other words, they ate all that they wanted, not just a little bit. They were full. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. After he fed about 10,000 people with this little bitty lunch that never gave out, then they collected 12 baskets full, much more than they had when they first started. That's why I say this was a miracle of creation. God didn't just restore something, but he made more of it, much, much more of it. It was kind of like the miracle that God did with Elijah and the widow of Zarephath there in 1 Kings 17. Remember, there was a drought and a famine in the land. God said, I want you to go up here to this area, and this widow is going to take care of, as far as providing food. And he saw her, and he said, would you go and make me a cake of bread and so forth? And she says, I tell you the truth, I'm right now just getting some sticks here to make a little fire. All I've got is enough flour and oil to make one little cake of bread there. For my son and myself, this is going to be our last meal. We're going to starve to death next. We have nothing left. And he says, I want you to go ahead and make me first. For thus saith the Lord, the flour is not going to give out, nor will your oil ever give out until the Lord brings rain upon the earth and relieves this famine. She believed the Lord, and she went and did like Elijah said. And every time she reached down into to scrape out the last little bit of flour, there was always more flour to be scraped out. Every time she poured the last little drops of oil, there was always more oil to be used, until the Lord brought an end to that famine. God provided, and God provided with this miracle as well. And God can provide in our impossibility and difficulty, whatever it is. Nothing is too hard for God.
Amen.
That's the truth. Nothing is too hard for him. Jesus did the impossible. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20, he does it, we can't. He is the God of impossibility. So what have we learned today? We need to look beyond our own resources, and we need to look to God. He is the one that can do it. We must rely upon Him. Secondly, we need to thank God for what He does provide. And we need to express that gratitude unto Him. We need to use what we have for Him, even our little bit that we may look at and think it's not much. But if we put it into His hands and we ask for His blessing, we're going to find His multiplied results. He can do more than we ask or think. When I was at Piedmont Bible College back in the long time day ago, they had a missionary aviation program. It was to train men that were going into to be missionaries that needed to be able to fly airplane to get into some of the areas that they were going to go to. And so one of my friends named Steve, he was in that program learning how to fly, and he came to the point where he would have to do his solo flying, and part of the solo training was he had to learn a particular maneuver that they would have to practice. And so he was telling us in the dorm one night about this maneuver he had done. It's called, you put your airplane in a stall. And if any of you know what that means, you take it and you put it into a climb and you lower your speed to the point where the airplane will not fly anymore, but it starts to drop. And that happened with him. And unfortunately, when it started to drop, it went into a tailspin, which is quite fearful. If you've never been in one, I hope you don't ever get in one. But thankfully, I've never been in one, but I heard the testimony of Steve that night of what happened to him. And it scared him. And he tried, and he couldn't get it out, and all of a sudden, he just said, I just let go. And the plane straightened itself, and then he grabbed a hold and pulled up and saved the airplane and himself. He told us the story, and I thought about that, and I thought, you know, there are many times in our life that's what we've got to do. We're in our impossible situation. We're fearful. We don't know what to do. We've tried everything that we know. It's not working. And sometimes we say, Lord, I've just got to let go. And I'm going to leave it to the specialist. Now, like some pilots that say, God is my co-pilot. I like it better when we say, God's a pilot, I'm the co-pilot. God is there for us. Whatever the difficulty, whatever the trial, whatever we're facing, however difficult it seems to be, nothing is impossible with God. We can rely upon Him. We're to cast our care upon Him, and He cares for us. Do you know this God of impossibilities? I'm not asking, do you know about Him? But you do know Him personally. Have you come to a point in your life where you realize that you needed what He did on Calvary to be your payment of sin? That's what salvation is. That's what a relationship with God is all about. And I know that there are many of you out there that would testify and say, Pastor, I am truly a believer, a child of God. And I know that to be true. But I don't know that that would be the testimony of every individual in here. There's always a possibility that somebody may not have yet made that choice. Would you make that choice today? Don't wait any longer. He is the God of all impossibilities. And probably, I would say, the greatest miracle that has ever been done is the miracle of new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. He has forgiven of our sins and removed them. He has offered eternal life to any one of us who by faith will receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you've not done that, will you do that today? Every head bow, please. Will there be anyone today that would say, Pastor, I'm facing some impossibilities, at least it seems that way from a human point of view. Great difficulties. But I know and believe that nothing is impossible with you. And you would say right now, Pastor, today has been an encouragement to my own heart to look at my difficulties that way and to cast them on Him, for He can do all things well. Is that your testimony today? Can I see your hand? Just thank you all around. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I hope that that's an encouragement to you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I have to admit that I'm one that has not yet made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe in God. I believe what Jesus did, but I've never come to the point that I've made a choice to choose what He did on Calvary to be my payment of sin. But I'd like to do that today. Will you pray for me? I'm not going to call out your name or anything, but if just lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's the choice I would like to make today. Anyone at all would make that statement. Pastor, pray for me. Lord, I pray right now that as we conclude this service, that You would allow us from our hearts to be encouraged through Your word, through the truth of who You are. And Father, even in the difficulties that come our way, we understand, Lord, that You know exactly what You're going to do. Help us, Father, to trust You. Help us to lean upon Your strength. Lord, our little bit may be just that, but You can do more, exceedingly more than we ask or even think. And I pray that You would make Yourself known in that way to each one of us today. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen.